Really, Riley?
Are you ready?
This is the Really Riley Podcast.
Woo! Hello, beloveds. Welcome back
to Really Riley. If you're new around these parts, I'm Riley, your host for the day or for however long you can tolerate me in your ear holes. This is my little corner of the world where I like to talk about all things real, raw. I used to say all things Riley, but it's really more about just connecting with you guys and going further into conversations about things that I think are really cool, things that you think are really cool. Lots of backstories about, you know, the industry and my road and what I've been through. But lately I've really been connecting with a lot of other women in the industry. And I think it's really awesome because I have, if you are new around these parts, you've not heard this yet, but if you are an OG, we got this. You're like, yeah, we know Riley. Really, Riley. But I was 20 years in terrestrial radio and now I've shifted over to podcasting. Who knows what lies for the future in terms of radio, but I'm still very much interested in connecting with the women in the industry because, you know, you never know when your paths are going to cross. And my guest today is somebody that I happenstance had paths cross in person, but we've kind of had our lives intertwined for a good little bit. My co-host for the day is Jess Dutra. She's co-host of the Kramer and Jess Show at Mix 106.5 in Baltimore. She also does a podcast. She's a Gracie Award winner, which has me fangirling because that's on the list of things that I would love to have. She's a soon-to-be wifey and friend. Hello, love.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm so glad that you wanted to come on. So I wanted to let you guys know, like, the temperature of the very first time I met you in person, because we were essentially competition, as the, you know, the radio game would say it, because yesteryear when I started radio, it was, you didn't talk to the competition. You weren't cool with them. It was like all on war almost.
And yeah,
I never like took to that kind of thing. I kind of stayed to my own whatever. And so we connected at Morning Show Boot Camp in August, right?
Yeah, last year.
August of last year. And I just went up to her and I was just like, babe, you're the new it girl. Like, and because I believe that. I've never really watched you as close as I have, which sounds creepy. Then
it's not creepy. I think that's what we do.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. It's not creepy at all.
But I didn't like, you know, how you'll scope and you'll do the zoom, like, oh, what's she wearing? Oh, what's this girl? You know, for people that would be seemingly competition. I never did that. I was just like in my own world or whatever. But now that we're cool and we became friends in real life, I'd like to think that I was like, yeah, girl, get it. You know, I would be so excited when I would see you doing stuff, because I know that I had a few women in life for me in radio, one of them whom you met at boot camp, Kennedy Ellsley, that were like, you know, clapping for me in the background.
Yeah, and she's incredible.
Isn't she, though?
She is.
She's in Baltimore. If you guys have not listened to her, it's at Kennedy LZ or Downtown Kennedy on Instagram. If you want to follow her, she's amazing. But I never wanted to be that role towards women because I didn't think I was deserving of like showing anybody the way. And I don't think I am still, but I am definitely a cheerleader of women I see that were in the same shoes I was and walking the same walk that I was. And you've got so many big things coming up this year. You're getting married in what, a couple weeks?
I think in like 40 days. Oh. I think that's the countdown right now. I know. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't mean to add fuel to the fire, but I always remember that time as being like,
it's a shit show.
Yeah, this is fucking hell. It's just, it's awful. Everything falls apart at the last minute. This doesn't work out. That person can't come. This boo-boo ass cousin is being a bitch and doesn't like her dress and all the things. And you want to kill everybody. But I remember saying to you, like, at least with the job part of it, this is your time. Because I feel like getting married on the radio after you've been in it for a long time is kind of like graduating high school or college or something, you know?
No, it's special, just especially when listeners are a part of your journey and knew who you were in your 20s. And I mean, you. Yeah. I mean, your entire relationship played out on air as well. And that's kind of been my situation. And so it's interesting to see. It feels almost like a homecoming in a sense, because they've seen me go through some really, really fucked up shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels nice to have that support of like I finally found where I'm going with him, you know?
Oh, you just gave me complete full body goosebumps, and I'm getting my period, so don't mind if I like start
it's
getting
fine. I'm on my period, so we'll probably cry together.
We're
so
synced
it's fine.
Up. I love
yeah,
it.
We're synced up. Yeah.
I remember that time in my life being so wistful and like where everything, you know, because you know I'm big on manifestation and everything coming together. You know, you guys haven't listened to that podcast I did a couple down about my, you know, former abusive relationship. Like I so feel that moment, you know, where it's everything coming of age. But before I get ahead of myself, because I could gush over you for hours, give me a little bit more of like your radio backstory and how you decided to get into media in general, because it's a pretty interesting one.
I didn't. Growing up, it's not like I knew I wanted to be on the radio specifically. I just Same. Knew I needed to be in some sort of like performance space, entertainment space. And I'm glad that with radio, it kind of showed me, oh, like this is it kind of thing. And I got my first internship in June 2013. It was interesting too. So I started at iHeart San Diego and I had just moved there. So I was 18 and I hadn't started community college yet. But I had like reached out to Frankie V, who was on the air. And I thought he was always really cool for doing this because the part of the class was like, reach out to someone in your industry, you know, like the typical, like, yeah. You know, look into what it is kind of thing. And I sent him like a shit ton of questions and he didn't know me at all whatsoever. I'm just a student emailing him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hi, I'm Jess. And like, how do I do what you do? And just sent him a ton of questions and he answered every single one. And it wasn't even like a few sentences. He like full on paragraphs of like interacting with me. And I just, that just meant so much. Like he had no idea who I was, you know, and there ended up being a connection between my aunt and my aunt's friend, who's from Boston, who went to high school with Frankie B.
Wow.
So they, isn't that fucking weird?
Yeah. That's like six degrees of separation for radio. That's
it's so weird. And I love that I can have this conversation with you because I know you're just super into like the universe and like,
yeah,
like, you know, so yeah. To me, I just thought that was like the most random fucking connection ever. So they let me come in the studio and watch. I was sitting in Sonic. Sonic was producing for Frankie and Gina at the time. And I don't know how I got in there, but like they let me come to the station and watch the fucking show. And that was the first time I had ever seen live radio before.
That's
and
so weird. Okay.
Is that weird?
Even just that you mentioned our friend Sonic, like I connected with Sonic when I was doing radio in Atlanta and he's been one of my OGs for a long time. He's the craziest motherfucker ever. He's like a goofy Asian sweet Jim Carrey or something like that. I don't even know. Yeah. Like that's how you describe this crazy man, but it's so nuts. Like, yeah, but what a weird, zany way to start that. But you know,
well,
how I always say, what's meant for you is always going to be for you.
Exactly. And what's so crazy about that is I unfortunately wasn't able to intern at that time because I didn't have enough credit for a class I was taking. So in order, which makes me so sad that internships are barely a thing anymore, because I wouldn't have known that this is what I wanted to do without it. But I go in there, I watch the show and they're like, sorry, you know, you can't intern with us because you have to have a certain amount of college credits to get the class, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, come back in like a year or so and maybe we'll see you.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, cool. So I think maybe like a year or two passes by at that point. And I was on my way home from night class and I was listening to Channel 933 and the night guy was on and he was talking about Bruno Mars or something, which I'm like obsessed with Bruno Mars. My entire family's obsessed. And so I call in and I pop off about something and I'm like, just, I don't know what it was, but I was like defending my man for something. and he was like, you're funny. Like have you ever thought about being on the radio? And I was like, well, I mean, I did, but they said I couldn't come there yet, but maybe I have enough credits. And he was like, hey, like, here's this information for the internship program. Do with it what you will. And it was nice talking to you on air. If you ever want to call in, you know, you're welcome anytime. And he ended up giving me like the hotline number if I ever wanted to chime in on a segment or whatever.
Wow.
And I followed through. And at that point, I was able to enroll in the class at City College in San Diego to get credit for school. And I started interning there. And like that was my in, and it just like, it rocked my world, which was so sick because starting first, it was for the street team, but you had to shadow at least two shows part of the internship.
Yeah.
So I did mornings with Frankie and Gina, and then I did nights with Nathan Fast.
Ugh.
And I was like, this is fucking sick. And I just like fell in love with it.
I just like, I'm getting all girly and about this because I absolutely 150% mirror that same sentiment you're feeling right now of like, I never wanted to be in radio. It wasn't something that I yearned for since I was like 10. Mm-hmm. I didn't do all that. I kind of just, you know, showed up and mine was Broadcasters Training Network, which is probably illegal now because I think like the jocks get like a kickback to have you there. But I know so much what you're feeling when you walk in there. And I always say, like, once the radio bug bites you, you're infected. Like, you're either for it or not. And it makes me so much more like in love with you right now because you get what that feels like, that so many people that I've talked to, even in the industry, are like, oh, well, that's not a big deal. And I'm like, no, man. Like, when radio gets into your blood, it's like Spider-Man, you know, like you want to just, you get bit, the venom gets in you and you jump everywhere. And it's some of the most exhilarating experiences ever. And
yeah,
the thing I like about you though is nowadays, as I sound like the old woman in the shoe, that it's
you're not at all Riley,
it's like for me a lot of people now want it like this, you know, they don't want to fight for it, they don't really, because it's in the world, and I'll not be a traitor to some of the avenues that I've gone into in terms of influencing on social media, but some people think that you can just get it so easily, and because of that they don't want to work for it. They would never do an internship and clean out, you know, vans with hot dogs and loogies all over, done that.
Yeah,
you know, it wouldn't be, I'm gonna bounce all over the country, I keep hitting my mic, and just chase this dream. And I just, that's what I mean when I say to you so much that I'm like, I know that you have that thing. I don't know how to describe that thing other than to say, someone said it to me once that they took me by the shoulders and they're like, you just get it. You just get it. So take that and you run with it. I literally just got goosebumps all over because I'm not like a big sis to you or anything like that, but I think that you're going to go farther than you really can imagine. Because
thank you. Thanks, Riley.
I mean, I only speak the truth.
No, but, I know.
You know, like there was a time in your life that you said that you posted on Instagram that you were like sleeping in your car at one point.
Well, it was not sleeping in my car, but I was sleeping in living rooms, and I'd moved 13 times. I mean, I did sleep in my car. Like, I feel like we've all slept in our car, like right. During shifts in the stations.
For sure.
But at that time I was working at the station, which obviously pays shit. I was, as we all know.
Yeah.
And for a certain amount of time with the internship, not getting paid. But even like when I was on the street team, wasn't shit. So I was like technically doing street team and then also working the morning show once I got in there, on top of going to school, on top of working whatever serving job I had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always splitting a room with someone, or I had lived in two different living rooms because that's all I could afford.
Yeah.
And it was hard. I think what's weird, and I know you can relate to this too, is when I look back on it now, I can't believe some of the situations that I had put myself in, like moving in with strangers and Craigslist and like whatever I could afford. And it was like, I mean, I remember having when I was living in one of the living rooms, my roommate was like, you know, going out and raging, and she and her like annoying drunk ass boyfriend would come in during all hours of the night after partying and like stumbling through my room, my living space, you know, and like it was scary. Like I didn't know them, but that's all I could afford, you know. Yeah. What I mean? And I think when you're just working towards something, you don't really understand what's going on. You're just like, I'm just gonna say yes, and I'm just gonna keep doing whatever I can because I really hope it's gonna end up somewhere. And it was hard. Like it was really hard. And I think it's discouraging because I think a lot of the process too is having to build your own confidence when you don't have any, because it seems like everyone's trying to tell you what you don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. And not,
or
okay.
Like how you should be. And I think that was another thing for me, is I find myself very different from you know, what I've seen. I think I've taken inspiration, and I appreciate everyone that has poured into me or lent any sort of advice or like help or educated me in any way. But I had never seen anything specifically of like, okay, like that's exactly how I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I think being different or just like being being completely transparent all the time and not like, and choosing not to be a character, like genuinely choosing to be yourself and like everything that comes with that, is hard when you're in an industry that's constantly telling you to like be different, but basically do everything what everybody else is.
Yeah. Be different, but
hard.
Be in a box. Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree with like, I mean, one of the biggest compliments somebody said for me is the Haterade fan that used to have it out for me too. It's my favorite when they say this stuff. They're like, I hate Riley. I can't stand her. However, she never flips her opinion for what somebody else says of her. And that's been a blessing and a curse for me. And like you said, in an industry where you're being marketed, you're a package, you're a brand in and of yourself. And when I started Really Riley, it was called Really Riley because I was like, fuck, I want to be more real. Like, I don't want to be this character on one of the biggest shows in the country at the time. And I would for my job and fit there. But then people would meet me and be like, you know, you're the same, but you're also just so much more real. And I was like, Really Riley. And I felt that with you, because the first time we met, we were in a forum where we're in a very male dominated industry. There's a lot of really strong females coming up and making their voices big and known. And it's sad that we're saying that in 2024, that still has to be a thing, but it is. And a lot of people are just talking smack. It's just like gibberish. And it's just like, everybody is, you know, putting their, you know, member out on the table for you to like, you know, sit there and bow to. And I just don't like that about this industry in some ways. Like, I always say to a lot of the interns I've ever had, like, know who you are beyond the mic for real. Because we've seen so many things with mental health over the years. I've experienced it myself. And I said to people, like, I love radio with every ounce of my being, from my tits to my toes. I absolutely love it. But sometimes it doesn't love you back. It is still a business, you know? So that's why I was so intrigued by your story and the struggle that you go through to get there. But it's also too, in the struggle, I didn't think about it like that in that time, like the sacrifices that I've made, you know, like leaving behind people that I thought were like the loves of my life, you know, moving to DC with a 13-month-old, knowing nobody, you know, like I didn't necessarily have to live with strangers. That'd be terrifying. But, you know, the way I can empathize with that is like, I had to leave my son with people, you know, a nanny that I'd known for a week, and just be like, okay, I'm going to work. You know, so there's so many more things behind the scenes besides the glitz and glam of the big stage work and all the artist interviews. And, you know, it's a really a beautiful business. I don't want to sit here and like trash it completely, because that wouldn't be fair. Like, it gave me everything I have today completely. But I think for women, there's a little bit of a different road. You know, it's like, what am I saying? A little bit of a different road. There's a lot of a different road. You know, there's a lot with pay. And, you know, for a long time, I didn't even broach that subject because I was like, as long as I'm paying my bills, I don't really care. I don't really want to know what everybody else has and be in their pocketbook. I don't want to do that. There's a lot of difference with, you know, chances in the industry, because it's a male dominated industry. And there are some good ones out there. You know, there are some really good mentors that are male. But I would want to ask you, like, what do you think would have been the hardest part of the industry for you as a woman, or as women as a whole? Like, what do you think is the most, what is the area of struggle that we deal with the most, you think?
I think automatically just needing to be like the decoration instead of something that's looked at, that's contributing a massive amount of substance to conversations.
Yeah.
I think that was hard, where like, and I'll say that was a big transition for me from being with 933 and being like a fourth mic and coming in and commenting on whatever I was, or usually being like the butt of the jokes or ditzy or airhead or naive or whatever. Mm-hmm. Granted, obviously that comes with where I was at in my life and just genuinely not knowing things, but also like, I didn't need to be spoken to that way all the time, in a sense of like, I was never stupid, you know?
Yes. And I, oh my God, yeah. Yes.
And
you
I think
have
that's
to be
been,
like, oh, sorry. I just got excited about that one. Yes. So you shouldn't have to earn your stripes as a person. Earn your stripes in a industry sense. Sure. But as a person, you don't have to talk to me like I'm a piece of shit.
I think that's what is a little frustrating, is I feel like with women, it's almost like you have to get older and go through different like life milestones to be taken seriously, instead of from the very beginning of being able to be spoken to and having like a real honest conversation. Like, I mean, I can be spoken to like an adult, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that for me has been not just like, I'm not here just to laugh at your jokes, and I'm not here just to like follow along. I want to be able to take up as much space as anybody else respectfully, and I want to be given that.
Yeah.
So I think that has always been the frustrating part in that, you know?
Yes. I mean, I think the flip side of that, what a lot of people that listen just on the reg don't understand, is that our audience, or at least in top 40 where we were, you know, CHR as they call it in the industry, it's women 18 to 35, 45, depending on what demographic you're in. Women is the target they're trying to do. And 9 times out of 10.
And they tell you what women are interested in, even though you're literally the woman on
yes.
the show.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
It's interesting indeed. And here's the thing I'll say, like, yes, progress has to happen, right? Like, you have to go through it. And I do think that there has been a lot in the radio industry. It's just, I think that there in the future, God willing, will be a lot more care and empathy given, because I think a lot of times the men in the industry are not tutored that way coming up either. Doesn't make it okay, because you're a grown ass man and you know how to treat people well. And, you know, because I've always been very careful not to just completely like man bash in the industry, because a lot of the figures that did help me coming up were men. But I did say this to women on a panel once at boot camp years ago, and I got a lot of shit for it. A lot of women, they're like, well, I want to be a host. And I'm like, you deserve to, but do you deserve to? And they're like, what does that mean? I said, okay, do you know how to edit audio? Do you know how to run a bit? Do you know how to run a clock? Do you know how to run a board? Do you know how to get guests? Do you know how to run a conversation? And then you have to deal with 17 other people interrupting you, phones, this, that, and the third. Do you know how to do all that? And if you don't know how to do that, what else brings you to the table that you deserve to have that hosting seat without all the rest of it? They didn't like that very much, but it's very true. I never wanted to be a host just because I had a taco and they had a hot dog. I never wanted to do that. I wanted to be able to deserving of everything that I had. So the biggest thing for me that was hard is having a voice and not being seen as crazy, having a voice and not being seen as difficult. I'm not difficult. I just have a voice. That's what's different.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that there are some shows, there are some stations that cultivate that. But I think there's also some people in the industry that get cultivated just because it's the niche thing to do at the moment.
No, I also think it's important with the different types of stories that are being told, and that I don't like being, like you mentioned before, being put in a box, because we're such eclectic people and I have 500 different emotions within a fucking minute, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, what I am working towards, and what, because of things that I just haven't seen in the past, is typically it's like the male can be all of these things, but the female on air has to be one kind of thing, like the bitch or the hot
bitch.
Girl
yeah.
or the mom or the, I mean, really, because she can be sexy and have kids and work and also stick up for herself, but also be very empathetic all in the same sentence.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God. Yes.
And so I think for me, that's been like my number one priority of wanting to share whatever type of story it is that I want and convey whatever type of emotion it is that I want, because I feel different every day. And I know women feel the same fucking way.
Yes, it's so relatable. And you're also changing. You're going through a really big life shift where you're about to bind your life to someone else. And then, you know, if you choose to have children beyond that, you know, because I don't want to be that friend, when are you going to have kids? Because that's annoying. I'll never forget a host that I didn't really get along with at the time, but he gave me some of the best advice after I came back from having maternity leave. I was like, I want to talk about the baby. I want to talk about the baby, the baby, the baby, the baby, the baby. And I was pissed because he wasn't letting me talk about him as much as I wanted to. But he explained this, and most don't. He's like, Riley, that's not all that you are. You cannot be this one box, because you have so much more to share as well. And I appreciated that because it's true. Because when you're in the industry, some people don't ever realize, like, you could be alienating the person that, like, couldn't have a baby, or the person that has 17 babies and doesn't want to fucking hear about babies.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that leg up. As much as I didn't appreciate some of the other shit he did, I appreciate that leg up of letting me understand why. And I think it's so insightful that you have that feeling of, like, it's relatable as hell to be a woman and a human and have like 80 different things going on in my brain at the time. And it's okay for us to do that. And you ain't got to make fun of me because I have my period, because that period makes your life possible, sir.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, if there was one thing that you would say to a woman or a girl coming up in radio, what would it be?
Don't allow yourself to become the person they're making you to be, because then you kind of start to lose your way, as if, like, is that who I am, or is that all I know how to be? And then you're afraid to grow outside of that. And I think it kind of goes back on what we were discussing, and the point that you make about we grow and we change. And I think sometimes, especially in an industry that brands you as a certain kind of way, you're afraid to step out of that line, as in, like, will people follow? Is this okay? Is this allowed? Will it be celebrated? Will they be upset because I feel differently about something, or maybe I want to share in a different type of way, you know? So I think I would tell someone to be open with allowing yourself to change and grow, because that's going to make you the better version of yourself. And, like, my fuel comes from, like, the connection. And so no matter what, that's always going to be most important to me. And I've made that most important to me. So it's not so, like, defining my success or my importance of, like, who I'm connected to or who's proud of me, in a sense, because those relationships are long lasting, you know?
Fuck, girl, you are a smart cookie. Oh my God.
Like, well,
I don't mean to be condescending. I'm not taken aback, because it's like, I didn't think that you were so smart. I think of myself at your age, and I was such a damn mess, and I didn't have that insight of, like, being so sure of who you are and what you're not, and shifting that way of being able to say, no, this is who I am. This is what I bring to the table. I'm not disrespecting anyone's space. I'm not thinking I'm more than I'm not, but I'm not going to waver in my self-worth in that way. Like, I just think, like, can I put you in my pocket and carry that around,
well,
please?
You said something to me, or not only to me, I remember you saying it at Morning Show Boot Camp last year, that I've, like, carried with me and, like, have repeated to myself and have even shared with others when they've been struggling and, like, an outside situation from radio. But when you shared that intimate story about, like, the conversation between you and your husband, and when he told you, like the talent is in you, like, they, no one can take that away from you. And that's truly, like, you made an imprint on me with that and sharing that, because there have been times where I've had to, like, replay you saying that, because it's really difficult to be in a place when you're basically, you know, people are kind of telling you that your worth is based on how much people like you or what they can get from you.
Yeah.
And it can be really, really discouraging. And I think I've just had to, like, take a step back and really be like, okay, like, no matter what happens, no matter what environment, no matter if, like, the mic is there or not, like, no one can take, like, that's a God-given thing.
Oh my God. Yes.
Like, yeah. And, like, that, I mean, Riley, like, that whole, your entire lesson that day was so impactful. I mean, not only to me, but I know a lot of women and just people there in general. And I've really taken that with me. And that meant so much that you shared that, because it was so important to hear.
Ah, that just means the absolute universe to me, because I was shitting my pants to be able to do that in front of some of the people. Some of the people in that room didn't want me to succeed, and they showed up just to hate. I know that. But then I was just like, you know, I found out, and I wanted that to be something that people kept with them, because I've been open about this story of my bout with, like, depression and the landslide of what that felt to leave this industry that I love so much and, you know, choose me and my family over it. That was really hard. But I did find I felt so much more valuable behind the mic after I left. And again, you guys know how much I love radio, but I felt so impactful that people, like, still wanted to hear what I had to say. And it's because it comes from the heart. Like, I don't know how to bullshit. I really don't. I try sometimes, but I don't. And that has become now the thing that I love doing. That's why I wanted to talk to you and, you know, like, have this with you and I, because I see so many women, so many people in general, it doesn't have to be just women, but especially so many women that feel lost, or they feel afraid to reach out to other women because they feel like it's a catty thing. And I'm not gonna lie, there is that. There is some that they will gatekeep their knowledge. They will gatekeep their people, and they will sometimes even point you in the wrong direction. There is that. So it's important to be kind of wary of who your friends are. But that just really does mean the world to me, because I know with my mentors, I repeat their shit over and over and over in my head of things that meant something to me and stayed with me. So to hear you say that, just thank you, thank you, thank you. You know how my free thank yous, but... like, damn it, girl. I can't get all teary-eyed right now because I just got my eyelashes done. And yikes. Oh, God. All right. Well, so I want to try a little fun something with you that I've done before. It was good enough for Ed Sheeran, so hopefully you'll like it, too. I really like to do Riley Randoms. It's just a little fun thing that I just ask you a question. You tell me the very first thing that comes to your mind, and we'll go with it. You ready?
Okay. Yeah. Okay,
so what color Starburst are you?
Pink.
You're pink? I don't like pink. I like the red.
What?
I know. I'm weird. I am so weird. I like the red. I mean, and I'm a tropical Starburst too, I feel.
No, like. Red is good. Red is good.
Yeah,
red
the yellow good. And the wax, the waxy orange is not it. Not at all. Yeah. Who is the most underrated celebrity?
Underrated?
Underrated.
Kehlani.
Ooh, why do you say that?
Because I don't even want to say underrated. I think she's selective with how much she shares of herself and her spirit and her energy. And I respect her for it. But if she wanted to, she could dominate fucking everybody.
Okay. Okay. I like it. I like it. What is your least favorite chore that you have to do in the house?
Clean the toilet.
The eye roll you just gave. You know what's going to be funny? I'd rather clean the damn toilet than do the laundry. I'd rather.
Really?
Yes, with my nasty
boys.
Yeah,
it's quicker. It's quicker.
And it just feels so satisfying when it's clean and nice, and laundry just.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, it's terrible.
If I wasn't in radio, I would be blank.
I would be working for Disney.
As what?
Something like something at the parks, or like coordinating something, or like I would be there and finagle my way in there somewhere.
I love that. I want to be a Disney princess.
Same.
You know, I could totally be blonde. I can't really be Cinderella. She's blonde, but you get what I mean.
So that's why they have wigs. You're fine.
Very true. And y'all have seen my wigs on Instagram, so I could pull. My least favorite reality TV show is?
Least favorite?
Least.
Okay, I think it's called MILF Manor. Have you ever heard about
this
before?
What? Did you say MILF?
MILF Manor. Okay, so it's basically like all of these moms go to this. It's almost like it feels like a Bachelor-esque show, but it's like the moms and then all of their sons are there. So it's like a matter of like these moms hooking up with the other sons and like versus like setting them up or not.
Absolutely not.
It is so, it's so toxic.
No,
it's
ma'am.
So bad.
Ew.
It's so bad. It's so inappropriate. And it's real. It's called MILF Manor.
Now I gotta go watch this. Damn you. Damn
it's
you.
It's nasty.
Because I'm a boy mom and I just.
You're gonna hate it. You're gonna wanna, it's gonna make you wanna pull your hair out. It's disgusting.
Why? There's certain things you don't need to do for TV or money, you know?
It's bad.
I think that'd be like almost on the top of the list for me. Just, ugh.
Okay. Yeah.
Um, if I was a rich girl, I would buy
a personal driver.
Ooh.
I don't want to drive anywhere. Like, pick me up and take me wherever I need to go.
See, I'm a side seat driver, though. I'm a terrible driver, too, but I'm a side seat driver. So I don't know that that would work for me. But okay. I like that. It's probably less stressful that way, too, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially
at
270. My God. I am stilettos or sneakers?
Sneakers.
My favorite.
Always.
My favorite color to wear is?
That's so hard for me because I'm such a mood dresser.
Same,
honestly.
Same.
So I don't know. I don't know if I could pick a color because I'm such a mood girl. Like, you know what I mean? I don't have a go-to color.
I get it. Maybe we'll go with black. I don't know.
No. Like, I don't, it couldn't be black.
It's like, no, it can't be that. Okay.
I don't know.
All right, we'll let you take a pass on that one. If I could date one celebrity, pending that you were single years ago, it would be?
Oh, Kehlani. I just love her. Wow. I just love her. Like, literally, like, I really would date her. I think I would date her.
I get it. Pink is mine. I wouldn't want to interview her, but I would date her.
Yeah.
Faux show. Okay. The key to my happiness is?
Seeing my family. Yeah. And like, aww. I think it's, they just fill me up in a way that nobody else does. And like, they just get me in a way that nobody else gets me. And I feel like, I mean, I'm sure a lot of like people will relate and I'm sure some of them feel the same way, but there's just nobody else that I can just fully be myself with other than them.
That's so beautiful. Like,
thanks.
I mean, I'm not super, super close with my family, but I feel that way about some of my friends that are family in that sense. And I think that that's probably why you got such a good head about you. You know,
thanks.
You have that touchstone that will always be there. That really,
and we're messy. We're messy, though. That's the thing is like,
what luck
we're messy
isn't.
Yeah. Well, that's what I, yeah. Like, we've been through a lot of shit and like, we're not perfect, but like underneath all of the really fucked up shit that we've gone through and continue to go through, there's always that like core thing of like the love is always there, which I appreciate. Like, no matter what, like my parents were divorced for some time. And what I appreciate about them is no matter how much they hated each other, no matter what, when it came to like me and like holidays and birthdays, both sides of the family were always present no matter what, whatever space they were in. Like, wow. They could totally hate each other, but I had both grandparents on my fucking birthday, you know?
Yes. I did not come from that. So much love to your parents, you know, like much love to them. That's such like,
that's hard.
Yeah,
that's hard.
But that just goes to who they are as people, because sometimes love isn't enough. You know, that sucks to say, but sometimes it's just not. But if you can love your children more than you love your own stuff, I guess. Oh, I love you.
I love you.
Like, that just, I don't know. That made me feel so happy to hear that. Okay. Last and final thing that I will ask you for Riley Randoms is, in 5 years, I will most definitely be.
I think in 5 years, I most definitely will be a mom and also doing some sort of like spinoff lifestyle mom situation with whatever that's going to be. I don't know what like medium it's going to be, whether it's like YouTube or like podcasting, but there's going to be some sort of like video thing and like me doing mom stuff.
I love it. I think that you have, I've always said this, you have such a great future ahead of you. And like, it seems like you're really enjoying the now. I know right now sucks because you're getting married in a few days. I say a few, but it feels like a few in that slide.
And yeah.
I just really appreciate you. I appreciate you being you. I appreciate you being so insightful. And I appreciate you just being a friend, because it makes me see things in a different light, being on the outside of it, but not really. And I think that I always say my three thank yous of the day. And I think you're going to be my thank you, thank you, thank you today, because it really means a lot to me what you said. And it means a lot to get to know you more. And, you know, when you get to that mom space, I got a lot of tips for you, love.
Well, Riley, I appreciate that. I'm honored that you even asked me to be on in general, but I definitely just need to give you your flowers for a second, because what, like we kind of discussed off air before we did this, that when I mentioned to you, like, you're one of the few people that are truly like genuine and transparent, where no matter where you are or whoever you're speaking to. And I think that's the most bravest thing to me on the planet. And I admire you. I look up to you. I think you're so strong. And just like, I'm so happy we got to connect in person at Morning Show Boot Camp, because seeing how you handle yourself, and I know that was a very difficult thing for you to go through and to do. And not a lot of people show up for themselves like that. And I love you. And like, that just spoke volumes to me, honestly. And I was just like, I was just so fucking proud of you. And I was just like, fuck yeah. I was like, fuck yeah. Like, go up there. Like, go on stage, bitch. Like, that was your bit. Like, the fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I won't get into details. I know you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
But, like, no, I don't think nobody would have fucking done that. And yeah. I was just like, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
It is a little bit of an inside joke, but you guys, there was a moment in boot camp when we met that I was literally sitting there going, should I do this? But then I thought about it for a moment and I'm like, I'm going to kick my own ass for probably the next 10 years if I don't do this moment. It was terrifying and it might not have been the right decision for other people, but for me, it was the moment that I was like, I have to reclaim myself. And it doesn't seem that catastrophic to anyone else, but the fact that it like touched you too.
And you didn't do it disrespectfully either.
No.
You weren't disrespectful. You weren't petty. You weren't none of it. You got up on stage and you did your thing. I was like, that was the sickest thing ever.
I just took back what was mine. You know?
Yeah.
And it goes back to what you brought up before, that like the talent stays with you. It does. Nobody can take that shit from you. And I think this is so great. Like, I almost want to start more of this stuff. I want to have you back on and we can connect more about other fun things. It's just, you've really lifted me up today, and it was supposed to be the other way around, but I don't know. I don't even care what it was.
You lift me up so much, Riley. I'm so thankful for you.
Well, I can't wait for your wedding. And if you guys don't follow Jess, what the fuck are you doing? Give the socials and anywhere that they can hear, see, and stalk you like I do.
Jess Do It, JESSDUITT on IG and TikTok and all that kind of stuff. And I have like a link in my bio to where you guys can listen to my podcast with my fiance. It's called Low Key in the Garage.
Oh my God, I haven't heard it yet. Oh, next on the list.
And it's a lot of fun. Like, we've been just kind of like, it's about us like leading up to marriage and really just having discussions about how we want our marriage to be.
So good. Oh, yay.
So,
okay, cool. Oh, I have more listening to listen to on the treadmill tomorrow. Okay, you guys, thank you so much for listening to Really Riley. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I love you, love you, love you longest. Jess, you're amazing. Thank you for coming. I want to have you back.
Yeah, I love you.
Beloveds, I will talk to you tomorrow, and thank you for listening. It's Really Riley.